with 20 Minutes with Chad. And I don't know, why do you still come on the show, Chad?
I don't know why either. I'm kidding. No, it's just like, it's basically, it's like my ranting and raving, but pretty much, basically. So I could just kind of rant and rave, because it's, like, I was telling a friend the other day that I'm kind of, like, leaning towards mainly focusing on, like, podcasting and acting and this, the comedy, and then do the directing and producing once in a while, because, one, I could sit in my boxers, basically, and eat Fruity Pebbles and just basically talk, and let's, I don't have to rely on so many people, like collaborators and trying to secure locations and equipment, finding funds to do a movie, which is kind of hard anyways to do like a pandemic, even though there are so many people doing it. But I'm more interested in like your podcast meltdown the other day. Like, can you explain that a little more? Because I saw that video. I was just like, holy smokes.
I didn't have a podcast meltdown, first off. All I did was make a joke about somebody's personal life, and they got a little upset.
Yeah, I know. It looks like he needed, like, aloe vera for his bajayjay, man. I'm just like I know for instance, for, like, you have, like, a really sarcastic, snarky sense of humor, but the dude was just totally triggered. I'm like, bro, shave your beard, take a shower, and, you know, get out of your parents' basement. You might have a better dating life or something. I'm like, jeez.
Well, it was kind of funny because I asked that person to send me that exact clip.
Really?
Yes, because they did the recording, and I said, no, I want the whole thing. And they're like, what do you want? I go, I want the exact clip when you get a little upset with me and swear about what I do with my life, and I would like that. And I'm going to send it to all my friends. He's like, but I don't know them. I'm like, I don't care. You did it. You're going to live with it.
Like, is he a friend of yours, or he's just...
He's on my regular show. If you listen to the Extra Features podcast, the person he's talking, you're talking about is Daniel Prynne.
Uh-huh.
And he has a little bit of a meltdown at one of my sarcastic comments.
That is so funny, you know? Because, like, I've listened to some of them, but I can never tell because there's so many voices going, like, all out at once. So it's like, I recognize your voice when you do stuff, but when other people start talking, I really don't know the voice to the face. So that's the issue I run into.
Well, if you're bored, I'm sorry to interrupt you. This is Chad's show, not mine. Extra Features has a YouTube page, and we have it all up there. We do our Zoom calls. And you can
That's true. Oh, you're changing now. You're classy now. You're upgrading. You're upgrading, right? Not downgrading.
Well, I had to move from you and your Muppet voice because I keep waiting for Kermit the Frog to show up with another Muppet newsflash.
It's like waka waka waka. Sound like a Muppet. Wow. But because I've been trying to use this like Zoom as like a audio interface, and I think it sounds a little better. But I don't know if it's just because of all the connections. I might have a shitty XLR because I have an XLR that's like super long. Because I'm trying to buy like a 5-foot XLR, better mic, and kind of like hook it up and everything, and kind of go through that way. Or even like a USB mic, because you actually hook up regular mics now to the laptop. So I've been researching a lot and like kind of like watching a lot of tutorials on YouTube, reading tutorials on like Google. I'm trying to like, I even sample editing stuff on like GarageBand, because like that right there is like a learning curve in itself. Like, it's so clunky. Like the older one, you could just hit buttons and stuff, but it's so much crap now in the new GarageBand. I'm sitting there like, wow, it's like going back to film school, learning everything all over again. But it's just like, it is what it is. Like, I'm like really like into like podcasting, and the quality is getting better. At least that's the thing. Cause that's like the one big critique we get is just like, oh, your podcast, the sound is shit. And I'm like, okay, well, like we do it via Skype. Like, you're in Canada, I'm in LA. So just like hopefully getting a better mic and equipment and kind of upgrading everything, it's going to be really good. But it's like a learning curve. So basically, this is like mastering the skills while we're in a pandemic till like everything starts opening up and I can start doing more stuff. Like, I want to get better at editing and start adding like interviews and stuff like that. But yeah, like even my mom was like interested, like, oh, you're doing stuff, please work on podcasts and all that stuff. And it's easier for me because like I've always like interested in like talk radio and like Howard Stern and all that stuff, where I'm like, it'd be kind of interesting just to kind of like chill and do that kind of stuff and content. And I like doing it myself kind of thing. Like eventually I would like to have like a professional sound engineer on my end where I can make my stuff sound actually good. Cause like my stuff, I'm a perfectionist. Like I'm also a control freak and an overachiever where I want everything perfect and crystal clear and stuff like that. But it is, you know, but have you already had any other bad experience for like different podcasts and stuff? Like I think I really never had any bad experience on podcasts. Only bad experience that I have is trying to like book people for my interview segments for the 20 minutes with Chad. Like that's like that what kills me. It's like they flake on me. I know life happens and whatnot, but it's when like they're like, oh, I can't do it, and then all of a sudden you see them posting on Instagram or Facebook like, I'm so bored, there's nothing to do, and they're eating Cheetos on the freaking couch. You're like, my interview is only like 5-7 minutes for like fun entertainment stuff, but they couldn't even take 5 to 10 minutes out of their time just to like basically do dick and fart jokes and answer stupid questions, you know, that type of thing. So I sit down, I'm like, wow. And people wonder why they don't succeed and they fail all the time. So it's like, oh, okay. Like, but yeah, so I never really had like any big podcast issues. Like, I know you interview a lot of people, you probably have like a lot of boring interviews and whatnot. And then, just people like, yeah, it's just, I just don't like flaky people. But I've been also listening to a lot of podcasts to kind of like researching, because my attention span for like films and TV shows right now are like at zero. Like just nothing good on right now. It's just sort of like, oh, there's so much shit out there. It's just, it doesn't catch my attention, which kind of sucks. But I've watched a couple of few horror films the last few days. Like La Llorona, that was actually really good. The foreign one, not the American one produced by James Wan, was complete garbage. And then I watched this one called The Shed. Great cinematography, great soundtrack. And I watched this Korean horror film, which was like a zombie film, called Hashtag Alive, which was really, really good. I recommend people checking those movies out. And like, I know I definitely want to do like a Halloween podcast, just kind of like talk about stuff that for people to go check it out and everything. Hopefully that come out in October.
You know, yeah, October is 2 weeks away, right?
Yeah, I know. This month's gone by really fast. So, like, hopefully we record something before October for, like, a Halloween, like, special type thing.
Okay. So, move on. We'll get that. That's off the air, Chad.
Oh, that's good. We do that. And, yeah, I've just been listening to some podcasts. My favorites right now is called Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. I listened to, like, what was the other one that I just listened to? It's like Off Camera with Sam Jones, more like interview shows, Dax Shepard. Like, it's always fun listening to interviews and stuff like that. I always like listening to people's stories. But yeah, like, that's pretty much it. Just been doing a bunch of podcast stuff and trying to not lose my sanity with all this like wildfire smoke and stuff, because like our air quality is so bad right now, like really super bad. And then like, which sucks because I didn't do my 7 mile walk since last Friday, which was like a week, because the air quality is so, so bad. And then finally I walked yesterday and today and I'm like dying, but hopefully the smoke clears up, because there's a big ass fire in Los Angeles, and then all of California and Oregon and Washington's burning. So that's fun too. How's things on your end in the middle of Canada? Any fires there?
No, I live in Ontario. We don't really have fires because, you know, we have snow all the time and igloos, so.
Igloos. So no, like, Canada's like, what? What are fires? what about these fires?
So I have a question. Being an independent filmmaker and going through 6 months of pure lockdown, pretty much, mm-hmm. How do you get a job?
What do you mean? For like, anything. Like a job in the entertainment industry,
yes,
or
that's
just
where
in
you
want
to be.
Like, basically, right now, I'm just really focused on like writing, focusing on my health and exercising. Like, it's really boring. A lot of people are talking about like, yeah, I'm working on this and that, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Like I'm writing a script right now for like a streaming site and like a TV pilot. And that's slowly but surely coming along finally, because I showed them the opening of the series, and they're like, oh, we love it. That's a great idea. So hopefully something happens out of that. Like I'm writing it. This pilot's going to be like 75 pages. So I'm on like 4 pages right now. But at least the opening looks really, really good. It's sort of like Narcos meets Miami Vice right now, which is like a weird mix.
So am I allowed to discuss this topic vaguely then, the one you just brought up?
Yes, I'm allowed to talk about it vaguely, yes.
Do you have a contract?
Sadly, not yet.
So why are you working
on... I didn't keep changing. Well, because I haven't shown them everything, what I want to do with it, because like I'm kind of like, I show them little pieces here and there. Because we do have like a basic agreement. We did sign an NDA and stuff like that. That's just the contract itself. If it gets picked up, when the money starts coming, because they want to like start paying me, but they don't pay you till after you write the draft. So it's just like, I just want to, because like they know I'm kind of slowly but surely writing it, because like they're focused, because they're doing like 2 other shows. This is sort of like side project in a way for them, so they're not like rushing to get it, because they're doing one about some musician, and I'm not gonna say which one because it's still in the works and everything, and they're doing some cop show, but this is sort of like, this guy wants to focus on the producing, and like especially when Netflix starts doing more stuff here, because they're filming a lot of their stuff in New Mexico now, because they have a studio out there, so they're trying to get like a lot of the stuff that's in LA. It's going over there and shooting. They're shooting stuff in New Mexico. That in Europe. Like, Sweden's, like, hella popular. Like, Nicholas, I was talking to Nicholas the other day, and he's just like, yeah, we've been shooting stuff for, like, the last 3 months. And I was like, oh, good for you, Sweden. But, I'm working on that. Like, I still, like, write, like, I haven't had really good luck writing a cohesive script. Like, the lockdown's been sucking for that. But it's just, like, I still write treatments, which are, like, detailed, specific, like, outline of a movie, series Bibles, and stuff like that. So I've been writing daily. So, like, when everything starts kicking into gear, I have something to go back and pull out of my shelf. But it's just, like, there's really no, like deadlines and stress and tunnel vision to do stuff. Like, even this one I'm writing right now, there's no timeline. Like, till they give me a contract and say, hey, you have 2 weeks to do shit, and then I'll be like, okay, then I'll buckle down. But I really don't need to buckle down.
But that would upset me. Why work for free? So that's what it sounds like to me.
Well, it's basically killing time. Like, I'm not like 110% focusing on it. Like, I'm doing other things. Like, if I get like a little spur of idea, like, okay, I might work 2 pages or 3 pages just to kind of like have that, like, there's something on my side project where I'm like, I could write something, not something of mine. Because I usually don't like writing for hire, because, like, even after, like, my heart attacks, I kind of realized, like, I don't like writing for hire. Like, I only write really stuff for myself now, where even when I, like, was even before heart attack, I call it pre-heart attack, Chad, I always, it was stuff that I want to see and what I want to watch. It was never really like, oh, I got to write for the mass media, like the mass audience and all this different stuff. And I'm like, I really don't care about that. Where I'm like, I kind of have my own niche audience, very simple. And then if like a bigger audience see it, cool, they could go see it. But it's just like, it's not a big factor.
Well, it is for me. Like, I mean, maybe it's your situation as opposed to my situation. I need to provide an income for my family.
Yeah.
You don't. And I get that. You're 34.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's the one thing. Yeah, like, I sacrifice a lot of stuff where I don't have a family, a wife and children, a house payment, a mortgage, stuff like that. I don't have big overhead. I have a very small overhead. Yeah, I'm bare bones, you know, type thing here. And I work a part-time job that pays for all that stuff. But it's just like, I have that luxury to do the stuff that I want to do, where other people like, I know people who've been in the business for like almost 20 years who have family, kids, and mortgages. They're actually quitting show business. They're actually quitting because they can't afford it no more. They don't know how their business is. And like some people are like, oh, video's dead, film is dead, da 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 da. I'm like, no, there's always going to be platforms to entertain. It's just, it involves and adapts, and they don't want to do that and take the chance on it because they're so comfortable making their six figures or the high five and figure type thing. But so they're launching their own different career paths, basically.
If you did that, let's say took a different paid for gig, like the thing we're talking about, wouldn't you take the money and then do one for them, one for me kind of idea, like some actors do?
You see, in the old Hollywood system, that makes sense. But now the money is not guaranteed. Really, everything's changing because people were doing that because you had gatekeepers to appease. Like, you have to get, like, so-and-so needs to get you to do this project. And now with the economy kind of collapsing here, it's like, it's kind of like businesses and the whole structure is changing. So whoever toughs it out, it's like the Wild Wild West pretty much now, where it's just like, if you could tough it out, yes, you're going to have the big corporations with their IPs and stuff, but people are already getting tired of that. People are tired of these superhero movies, and then if they don't have the money to make those superhero monies, and there's no way to show those superhero movies to make money, because those movies were like really were set heavy on movie theaters. They need these blockbusters because they're spending $300-400 million on these movies, and they can make money back on the movie theaters. But now with the movie theaters, they're just having these $200-300 million movies sitting on a shelf, hoping that streaming will pay it back. So you could, if they figure out how to do that, that's going to be their next big market move. That's not going to be like theaters, because cinemas are going to be like a luxury now, where it's just like, like an event now. It's not going to be like a have-to thing. Like, I love movie theaters. I love the cinema. That's my passion. But that's not where it is no more, because they see that where people want to stay home in the comfort of home, pay for like what Netflix is $14.99 or Amazon, or they could rent something on Amazon for $20, like renting a movie. Yeah, it's $20. That's $20. Where if you go to a movie theater, you have to pay a ticket for each person, concessions, parking, babysitter, all these different stuff. It adds up really fast. So they're kind of seeing where, like, the consumerism is kind of basically changing. That's how I see it. And if people figure that out, it's going to be the future of, like, the entertainment and show business.
That makes sense. But don't you ever want to see one of your films up there?
When I was younger, most definitely, but now I really don't care. Like, my be-all, end-all kind of goal is telling stories. Like, I see myself as an entertainer first, a storyteller second, and I have no problem with what platform I do, because I'm an actor, I'm a writer, I'm a director, I'm a producer, I'm a podcaster, I do stand-up. So it's just like, I have different platforms and expertise. And that kind of is going to pay off eventually, where some people just put all their eggs in one basket and they don't want to adapt and change. Like, I have a buddy who's a filmmaker who badmouths all the streaming, and he prefers all these DVDs and VHS over streaming, but you're not making no money. No one has that technology anymore. Like, and then he's badmouthing streaming that deletes his movies and stuff. And I'm like, well, they're not just distributors. There's just a platform. Show your movie, and your movie's sucking, and that's why no one's paying to see your shit. That's why they take it up. It's not because of censorship. It's a business thing. And that's why I'm always, where people talk about like, oh yeah, my movie's on Amazon. I'm like, yeah, the movie's on Amazon, but Amazon's not releasing it. It's not an Amazon film. You're basically putting your movie on a platform like YouTube and stuff like that to show it. Whereas if you do Netflix, Netflix is actually licensing it. It's different than what Amazon is. So a lot of people don't get the business end of that, which is kind of crazy, where it's just like, oh, they're censoring. They don't accept, like, no, your movie sucks. Or it's such so niche-based that there's not a big enough audience to make money off of it. So that's what I look at when I make films or any kind of project. I kind of figure out, like, okay, what's the market? Because it is a business. It is a career, too. Like, I look at a career, like, this is where I make my living. It's a business. And how can I adapt and evolve and not kind of bitch and moan? Like, they're doing it this way. It's no fair. I'm an artist. Da-da-da. I'm like, if you want to be an artist, become a fucking painter or artist or a hobbyist. Be a hobbyist. If you want to make hobby films as a hobby, go do it. But if you want to do it as a business, like, kind of have to learn to go with the business. Kind of quit bitching, kind of like, shit or get off the pot type of thing.
You're done. Goodbye.
Peace.